Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, yes. We are having
this
a little.
Is the day the Lord has made.
Oh, yes.
And be glad. Oh, yes.
Welcome to our show on today. Our exciting guests. We are excited that you all were able to stay on. We were having a few challenges. Our computer had froze on us, but we are back up and are ready to rock and roll. Our awesome guest, Coach Cassandra, is on the line. Thank you for dialing in. What a powerful, powerful story.
Yes.
Go ready?
That kind of goes along with the statement I was going to read this morning anyway. God has such a sense of humor. It says, when things fall apart, consider the possibility that life knocked you down on purpose, not to bully you or to punish you, but to prompt you to build something that better suits your personality and your purpose. So I say, God, whatever it is that you want to do in this season, you know, you go before us. Because the best is yet to come. That's all I can say. The best is yet to come. So I think I'm thankful for that today, that in all our ways we acknowledge God and He will direct our path. So I am excited about the possibilities. We've got an awesome speaker. And, you know, Coach Willis, I had an awesome power field weekend. Women were being empowered, uplifted. And we even had I know many of you know Bishop Weeks. Well, his wife was here preaching. Her name is Prophetess Christina Lynn Weeks. And I'm telling you, she had a powerful word. And that word was, you have been approved by God. Man may not like it. Man may be saying, no, not now. But listen, when you've been approved by God, He will come through and make a way when there seems to be no way. And so the same thing, if you have a dream in your heart, listen, now is the time to come forward. Now is the time to be intentional about what's down on the inside of you. And know that if you make one step, two step, God's going to be right there to meet you. But He's trying to build your faith muscles. All of us, our faith muscles are being built to another level. So you be encouraged. You be inspired. And that's why we're here. We're coaches. We assist folks. We have a 15-minute session that we do absolutely free to get you going, to get you thinking about what the possibilities are. And, of course, Coach Lalisa is a power coach. I am the possibility coach. And when we come together, we are the dynamic duo of coaching, and we want to help take you to the next level. So we're so glad you joined us. A little bit later, we're going to open up the line for discussion. So we want to hear your questions, your comments, And we are just so excited. And listen, it's almost time for the webinar, April 22nd. We're going to have a power-packed webinar. And then, of course, April 29th, we offer four or five of the best folks around the country that are speaking on a national level coming in to give you that pow, kapow, what you need to go to the next level to be successful in whatever it is that you're striving to do. So we have an encouraging word, an inspiring word. We want to lift you up. That's why we're here. That's our purpose, and we know what it is. So we are coming to you. We're going all over the country because Elise and I are keynote speakers. We are also do conferences, and we do workshops, and so we're able to come and even MC. I got an opportunity to MC this weekend, and it was awesome. And so we're here, and we're available for you to help you in this process. This is a journey that we are taking together, and I know that I am thankful for this opportunity and know that all things are working together for good. So, you know, you just got to remember that you got to power up and kick it. Kick what? Kick defeat, kick discouragement, kick negativity to the curb. And if you find yourself surrounded by negative people, listen, you got to let them go. You got to hang out with the kind of folks that will assist you and take you to the next level. Isn't that right, Coach Louisa? I know she's here and she's excited also, but I'm telling you, gonna do it. All right.
You gotta kick negative people. You gotta kick them to the curb. But we're gonna yes. So we thank you for joining us this morning. We do apologize for that delay this morning. We were having a couple of difficulties. We had signed in a computer, but we are back up and we are back on the air, so we are excited about that. Our guest, OMG, wait till you hear about our awesome guest. I'm going to be introducing him in just a moment, but we are giving people a time to call in, get on the phone line, and we are definitely going to take your questions. Now, I know sometimes when people first come onto the line, they tell you to hit your number one, but I don't know if everybody wants to hit the number one key, but I see another 314 number. So I'm not sure if that person was hitting the number one key. Maybe they were hitting the key to see if they could hear us. But I just don't want anyone to have a burning question. And we not, because once we start answering, we're going to see. But I'm just going to double check. Area code 314-581. Did you have a comment or a question? Or did you hit your number one
key? I got a comment.
Go right ahead.
No, I got a comment. This is Dr. G. Fasten your seatbelt. I'm here listening to you, but are y'all really ready to go to the next level? Are you really ready? Because in order, you talked about faith. We got to have the God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith is when you get in agreement with God. He talks about the law of agreement. When you get in agreement with God, it's three words that you have to be in agreement with. Yes and amen, because all the promises of God are yes and amen. And when you say yes and amen to God's word, you are in agreement with him. And when you're in agreement with God's word, you have the God kind of faith. Now, his grace. He said he's given every man a measure of grace. So when you're in agreement, when you have faith and grace, and then when you have the Holy Spirit. See, God's glory will never be nowhere where the Holy Spirit is not. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. But when you have God's great faith, God kind of faith, God's grace, then the Holy Spirit, then you have his glory. And wherever the glory is, you have position for manifestation of miracles. And when you have miracles, I'll tell you what, when you have the glory, you have the miracles operating. And no matter what you do, wherever God's glory is, when it's entered into the earth realm, natural things has to cease and comply with it. Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus said, no, you know, you're going to see him. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, no, you're going to see him, and then you're going to see the glory. You'll magnify your Father which is in heaven. Whenever the glory shows up, natural things has to cease to exist, and it complies with the spiritual things. See, the things about the spiritual things are eternal. Things that we see here in the natural are temporal. Yeah, Lazarus was dead. That was temporal. But when Jesus called him forth, speaking the God type of faith, he came out of the
awesome.
He came out of grace. So I want to tell brothers and sisters that God says he'll be with us always. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And when he starts talking to you about those dreams or he gives you a nugget, he wants you to get in agreement, act on it, and it'll come to pass here in the earth realm. And no one could stop it. No one, no person. Because, see, everything gets in line with the spiritual things first. And so we've just been out of order. And see, God told us to take up dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, over the cattle. He said over all the earth. And we haven't been doing that because we haven't said yes and amen. But when we say yes and amen and get in agreement with God's word, his will and his way, things will really begin to flow and you'll operate on a higher level. This is the captain speaking. Just thought I'd fly over and drop in and drop a little nugget on you as we keep climbing to 35,000 feet.
All
thank
right.
you, Captain.
Thank you, Captain. We have climbed, and we are now going to introduce our awesome guest that has been standing on the line patiently waiting. Again, thank you for that, Dr. Gerald Higginbotham, but I'm glad you brought that up about miracles and about faith because I think our guest has something to say about that. Here's an awesome man that I met some 27 years ago. That's right. I met this man in 1988, 27, probably almost, yeah, about 26, 27 years ago. And I met him as he was working, was a co-worker of my husband's. At that time, my husband and I weren't married. My husband and I had just met. And the day I met my husband on Friday, my husband went to work that Saturday morning. They worked in a retail department store that sold appliances together at that time. They were been both of them, but this person, my husband, would come home and talk to me about this Andre person, and they had so much fun, and then my husband and I got married, and we remained friends, and Andre would, you know, come to some of the cookouts we would have in our home, but always a very delightful young man. And, you know, I haven't seen Andre since that time period. And, but other than on Facebook and then to find out that he's doing some awesome, wonderful things. And I invited him on the show, but, it's just so funny how you never know who you're going to meet. And, Andre, your phone line is open, so you can chime in. But, Andre, good morning, and welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. I'm so glad you could be with us today.
Well, I want to thank you very much. Good morning to you, LaLisa. Good morning to you, Cassandra. And good morning to the Catherine that just came in, and I hope it's safe enough for me to take off my seatbelt now and, you know, relax a little bit.
Well, I'm going to let you, I just want to say a few more things about, you know, Andre is also a businessman. He's a comedian, a gospel comedian. He has shared the stage of being a comedian with other great artist in the gospel music and gospel world industry. He's been on a major stage, major stages around the country. He's made so many people laugh, and, you know, we know that's medicine right there. And he's so humble, as you can hear in his voice. But I have to let you know, Andre has a powerful, powerful testimony. So see, nothing just happens. I'm glad the captain came on. I didn't know whose phone number it was, but you know what? You really need your seatbelts on for this testimony. So I want you to put your seatbelts on, and we want to give the floor to Mr. Andre Dubois, and so he can share with you, because when I ran into him again through my husband, through Facebook, I believe, after 20-something years, we didn't know where Andre had been and gone and what he was doing. We had not seen him. And so all I remember back then was this person working at this department appliance store, doing very well, making a lot of money, nice-looking man, going, you know, a nice personality. I didn't really know much else about Andre. I knew he was a serious businessman. I knew he was into one of the businesses that a lot of people in small businesses were needing at the time. A lot of people were getting more comfortable with using credit cards. I knew it had something to do with that. But his story is worth hearing. So please call somebody. Please call someone. Tell them to call in. Put your seatbelt on. And Andre, I'm going to let you take it away. Tell us about your life. Tell us about, you know, your business as a comedian, and how you got to be. How did you get to be from when the time I saw you? I mean, you were funny, but, you know, I didn't know you were going to go off and be, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we're all still like told a little joke here and there, but for you to go off and be a gospel comedian on the stage and at events with some of the biggest names in the gospel industry, how did that happen?
Well, I tell you, you know, it's kind of hard to even begin with that, but I guess the easiest way to say is that when we are born, actually, we don't even realize we are actually put on a road. And we as human beings, we just look at, you know, living everyday life, you know, be it working or in a relationship or, you know, whatever you do. But, you know, we don't realize as humans that we are on a course. You know, we are actually driving on a road of life, on a road of Christianity, on a road of motivation, on so many different roads. But then there comes a time that you hit that red light, and it's almost like going into another state where it says you have entered either Florida or Louisiana, but actually you get to that road where God said, okay, you've gone this road, you've gone that road. You can now go this road and continue, or you can now go down this road. Where do you choose? And when you come to that crossroad in your own life, you actually know it. And then when you choose God, which you should have always chosen, but as humans, you know, we're not perfect. And when you choose that road, you're entering into a road that now you realize you can't go back to the same road you actually used to be on. And as you stated, yes, I worked in the retail world for years. I worked with your husband, great gentleman. And being on one road at that time, you really think you have a lot, you know, be it money, whatever the case might be. But actually, money is actually something that man made. There's nothing that actually God made. And when you follow the life of man, then you're definitely going to make more mistakes. But when you follow the road of God and you have him as your leader and he's driving, you can't make no mistakes. You're not going to go down the wrong path. And you're going to be guided into the right direction. And to really put things into perspective, at that time, you know, being in sales, I guess you could say what we all do in life is actually a part of where God wants you to go, but to use it then later on for him. You know, in the case of both of you ladies actually doing coaching and, you know, Lalisa, actually you teaching as well, you know, it's very easy from the man's world to, you know, let's say teach a class. But in God's light, he now wants you to take that same skill and teach and save souls and coach souls. In my case, of actually working in sales and excelling well in that, then when it came to God's path to me, I realized part of that skill was now to actually sell for him, excel for him. And doing that part of the road, I actually went through a mental illness, in which a lot of us as people will suffer diabetes and things of that nature. And it was something at a point where I really didn't take it that serious, and which I should have. And as time came on, it's just so amazing how God works. I went into the doctor one day just for a cold, and I figured I would get some antibiotics. So after leaving the doctor's office, I went home, made some soup, thought everything was fine. The following morning, I received a phone call from my doctor at 8 o'clock. What a wake-up call this is. You immediately have to get to the hospital. Your kidneys are operating at 20%. If you don't get in immediately, you're going to die. Wow. That's something really heavy to take in. And at first I laid in the bed and I said to myself, nah, you got to be kidding. This can't be true. I don't feel anything. So actually, lo and behold, I go to the hospital, go to Robert Wood Johnson in New Brunswick. They examined me. They told me, we immediately have to get you in surgery. We're going to have to put you on dialysis. And hearing about dialysis but never experiencing it, I'm just saying, there's just no way. And he told me I have to sign a waiver in order to have the surgery and go through it. And I'm still in denial. And I'm listening to human beings, doctors and nurses, but actually God was working through them. And I'll show you how that all comes into play. So I want to say for about a good half an hour, I had about 9 different doctors speaking to me, and they're telling me, you have to sign this, you have to sign this. And I'm saying, there's just no way I'm not going to do it. And 8 doctors leave the room, and 1 doctor stayed, very young doctor. I want to say this young lady, if she was 22, at least from the way she looked, it shocked me. She stayed in the room, and she closed the door, and she said to me, you're still not going to sign? I said, no. And she said, okay, fine. Just stay there and die. And I said, excuse me? She said, just stay there and die. I said, number one, you don't have the right to talk to me that way. And I said, 2, it's rude. I don't appreciate it. I'm going to file a complaint. But what I didn't realize was that God at that time really sent her to be my messenger. So getting upset, I still refused to sign. I picked up the phone. I called my mother, who at that time had been a nurse for 20 years, and I explained everything to her. And I asked her, do you really think this is true? And she didn't say a word. Right then and there, I dropped the phone. I ran down the hospital hall. I got the doctor, and I signed, and I went and had the surgery. And that was back in 2008. So at this point, at the later part of 2008, 2010, I am on dialysis. I am going to dialysis 3 days a week, 4 to 5 hours at a time. Very painful experience. During that time, I'm home, and a good friend of mine, who is a very well-known comedian named Hamburger, he gave me a call. And what's so ironic about this, even though he's a comedian, I had known Hamburger for 20 years prior because him and I actually went to the same church. And, you know, just passing someone, you say good morning, you say hi. And it was just the most weirdest thing. So now that he gives me a call, and he doesn't even know my medical situation, he says to me, why don't you just come out for the night and have a good time? And at first I did not want to go, so I figured, well, you know what, let me go. I haven't been doing anything except, you know, going on dialysis. So I went to where he was performing, actually being the host and MC of the show, and I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm having something to eat, and he's doing his commentating and everything else. And when he goes to introduce, you know, the different acts, and the first comedian, he's hyping up the crowd, and he's saying, I'm getting ready to bring a very funny comedian. This guy is this, this guy is that, this guy is this. Next thing you know, the spotlight pops on me sitting at the table with a piece of chicken piece of chicken in my mouth, and he calls my name to the stage. And I, at this point, I am totally embarrassed. I feel like I'm Professor Clump at the Scream from Nutty Professor. And either I realize I go up on the stage or I walk out just being embarrassed. So I figured, you know what? I don't know these people. I never see them again. I'll go up on the stage. So I went up on the stage. When I say I was there for about 5 minutes, a lot of people did laugh, and he asked the audience, well, what do you think? They gave a great opinion. I was thankful to that because I never did anything like that before. And he said, well, one day we'll get a chance to bring this young man back. Lo and behold, about 3 weeks later, and I don't even know how this happened once again, but like I said, when God takes you on a certain road, you don't know where you're going. Excuse me. So I'm asked to perform at Caroline's on Broadway in Manhattan. Wow, what a place. Yeah, I mean, you have some of the greatest comedians in the world that have performed there. So I perform there, and things go well. About 3 weeks later, I call myself actually vacationing on a Norwegian cruise, and I'm sitting down talking to some people at a table, and we just, I'm getting them to laugh, and I'm just saying a lot of different things, and I have a man walks by me, and lo and behold, I didn't know he was responsible for entertainment for a Norwegian cruise line, and they already had a comedian to actually entertain people there for that week. I was asked to perform on the Norwegian Cruise Line with this comedian that was far well-known more than me, and that was an experience within itself. And then I came back from vacation, and 2 weeks later I was back on Caroline's again, and then to New York Comedy Club, and then Gotham's, and then going out on the auditions for Last Comic Standing, and the world just kept going so quickly in this comedy thing, and I'm saying, this is not me. Why am I doing this? And it's now December of, 2009. It's now December of 2009, and all of a sudden I hear on the radio, there's auditions for the McDonald's Gospel Fest. We're looking for singers. We're looking for groups. We look for choirs. For vocalists, looking for gospel comedians. I'm like, wow, that sounds interesting. I said I went to Catholic school all my life, elementary and high school, but gospel comedians. I'm just thinking about listening to gospel music. How do you do a gospel comedian? So one of my friends turned to me that actually I was doing comedy with a very funny gentleman named Keith Get Right Arnold. And he says to me, you know, Dre, you should go for it. I'm like, go for it? I'm like, what am I going to do? You should just go for it. So I called up. I received an audition, and they asked me to come out to Paterson, New Jersey. And I went there, and I didn't know exactly what to do at all. I had no clue. It's about 15 minutes before it's time for me to go up. And I tell you, God just, he works through everybody. I guess you got to say, you have to just put your faith in him and let him just take you wherever he's going to take you. So I got up, I did everything that came to my mind, and I noticed a lot of people was laughing, you know, while they was taping me doing this audition. And when I actually left the stage from doing the audition, you know, people were still actually laughing. So I walked by the McDonald's staff, you know, being a little bit nervous, and I asked them, I said, I know you really can't tell me if I made this or qualified, but, you know, I want your honest opinion on what you think. And they said, well, you hear these people, they're still laughing. We can't even send nobody else up for a gospel comedian audition right now because these people are still laughing. It's going to be hard for the other people. So I just took it for what it was worth, and I left. 3 weeks later, I received an email from McDonald's Gospel Fest with T.D. Jakes writing on the email, and I'm reading through the email, and it tells me, you know, there was 40,000 people that actually auditioned for the McDonald's Gospel Fest in the tri-state area, and you have been selected to be one of three comedians for the McDonald's Gospel Fest. And I'm just like jumping up and down and saying, how, me? What? Dude, I can't believe this. And I'm like, this is just too impossible. I've only really been doing comedy for 5.5 months now. How is all of this happening? So lo and behold, I go to the McDonald's Gospel Fest. I'm in the Prudential Center. I'm going to say about 4 hours prior, and I'm looking out at all of these seats. I don't know. I guess it's close to maybe about 20,000 seats. And I'm saying to myself, because I'm still on that other side of that world, a lot of people aren't going to come to this. This is just a gospel fest thing. And lo and behold, a couple of hours later, I'm looking out, and I see this place is totally packed. And I'm saying to myself, I don't know if I can even do this. I've done places that 400 seats, 600 seats, close to 20,000 seats. This is just overbearing. So I get called to come behind the stage, and I'm backstage, and I'm looking at Dickie Winans, I'm looking at Jay Moss, Hezekiah Walken, all these, you know, great names in gospel. And I'm, you know, being told, just relax yourself, just relax yourself. And I went out there. I mean, it was a great roaring crowd, and I had a blast on that stage. A lot of the stuff that I did, in which I had a lot of claps all over the building and people just laughing so hard. I really don't even know what I did. I got to be honest with you, but I realized, you know, that was God using me and moving me to actually do his work. Now, mind you, that day I was on dialysis earlier that day and had to go back home and have dialysis again. So I'm doing God's work while I'm in pain. And you got to watch where this is going. After I did that, I started getting a lot of calls again to come back to the regular stage at the Caroline, the New York Comedy Club, and the Stress Factory, and do regular comedy. But I didn't realize there was a change in me that day from doing God's work. So I went back to Caroline's on Broadway. And I went and I did my show. And after the show, I was approached by the management staff there and the producer. And I was told, you know, Andre, you're an excellent comedian, but you up here doing this gospel stuff, Christian stuff. People are just not moved. They don't like it. You know, it's not appealing to them. And I'm laughing to myself. I'm saying, you know what? You just don't understand. Actually, what I gave you is the best. But one day, I guess, all of you in your own lives will understand. So doing God's work and being a faithful servant and not even realizing that, yes, I'm doing God's work and I'm being a faithful servant, I am still on dialysis. I'm going through the pain. I'm going through the suffering. And then my dialysis comes to another crossroad. And now I have to start doing it every day. Things are actually getting worse. I'm taking these chemicals. And now I'm doing dialysis at home. My process now from 4 hours now turns to be 9 to 11 hours per day. I am maintaining a house. I am cooking and cleaning. I am shopping. And I'm sleeping. And I'm doing dialysis 9 to 11 hours a day. And there is only 24 hours in a day. It's draining. How do I have the strength? How do I have the capability of enduring? And the chemicals that you take into your body from dialysis will actually change your pigmentation. So my skin, I want to say, became about 3 times darker from all these chemicals. It came a point, now if I'm going from October 2008, is now December 2012. I've gone past the threshold where they say you can actually get a kidney, where the time frame is normally about 4 years. It's now 4 years and 2 months. So now I start to fear, but I'm still holding on to the faith of a mustard seed, which is very small faith. It gets to the point now I'm starting to lose strength. I've lost over 100 pounds from chemicals. I cannot get on a machine to do it. It's now 2 days. I have no strength to eat. I'm in fear that my children one day is going to come into my house. They're going to find me deceased. I can't even pick up a final glass of water to drink. So I'm practically in my house getting ready to die from dehydration because I don't have the strength to pick up water. And I'm listening to some music on TV, and it's Christmas music, and I don't have my tree up, and all I'm thinking is, wow, it's about a week away before Christmas. I don't have the strength to go out and get anything for my children. I can't give them any gifts. I can't eat. I am just ready to give up. And I'm going to point out to something going back in an earlier conversation that the captain said. I just stood up in the middle of my living room. This was on December 18th, 2010, week away from Christmas. And I just cried out, looking up. Not even realizing what I'm doing, but I'm looking up, thinking I'm looking up at my ceiling. But wow. And I cried and I said, God, please just help me. Help me, please. Lord, all I want is a kidney. Please help me. Please. And I sat back down on my sofa and I just cried. I just cried. Oh, so hard. I can't forget that day. And the following day, December 19th, I received a phone call from Robert Wood Johnson Hospital. Good evening. This is around 9 o'clock. Is this Andre DeBose? Yes, it is. Hi. I forgot the lady's name, and she says, I'm one of the nurses here at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital. I'm calling to let you know you are fourth right now to receive a kidney. She explains to me the age of the person that, you know, passed away. She explained to me the condition of the kidney. And she asked me, if we can give you this kidney, would you like it? And when you are on any transplant list, they do give you that right because they, you know, explain the condition and things like that. And I said, yes, I would love this kidney, please. And she says, well, you can't eat for the next 12 hours. We want you to get some rest. We'll give you a call tomorrow morning, and we'll let you know if we can give you this kidney. There's 3 other people in front of you, And we have to ask those three first. You know, and if they want, you know, that kidney, then you're going to have to wait until another one's available. I said, I understand. So I got excited. You know, I started saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And I called a couple of family and friends. And I prayed through the night, and I went to sleep. And the following morning, 9 o'clock once again, my phone rung. And the same nurse, and she says, Mr. DeBose, good morning, how are you feeling? I said, great. She says, well, I just want to tell you, unfortunately, we cannot give you this kidney. The other three people in front of you want the kidney, and they match for this kidney, and going to have to wait. And I cried to the nurse. I said, ma'am, please, I need that kidney so bad. I'm not gonna live to cross over into 2013. And she said, sir, I am just so sorry. And I just broke down and died within myself, and I cried, and I said, I'm going to die. Lo and behold, at 10 o'clock in the morning, 1 hour later, I received a phone call. Oh, boy. The phone call I got was the same nurse.
My God.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I just want to let you know these three people came in here. Well, for some reason, we don't know what happened. That kidney just didn't match.
My God.
I said, what? She said, we cannot understand it. Medically, the blood type and everything, we don't understand. I looked up again. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They said, we need you here right away.
My God.
I ran out of the house with my slippers on that December 20th in the cold with pajama pants on and a T-shirt.
My Lord.
Got to the hospital immediately. They took me immediately downstairs to the operating room. They medevaced the kidney in.
My God.
Next thing you know, I was saved.
Jesus. Thank you.
And I say to myself, wow, Lord, you know, what you really did, you tested my faith. And if you remember during my conversation, I stated during this whole time of going through dialysis, I had the faith of a mustard seed, but that little mustard seed that I was able to take and still plant in the foundation of God himself, he let it grow. Because I kept the faith. What I also realized from that as well is that I was put to a test back in 2010, 2008, and 2009, of crossroads. You know, where do you go? Where do you choose? What would have happened if I decided, and you know what? Forget doing gospel work, gospel comedy for God. That I need to be on the big Broadway circuit where everyone likes to go, where the big money's at. Maybe I should have did that. And that was a test to me. You know, I realize there's a lot of things that are a test. In our world as humans, in all generations, you know, we have been taught since day one at birth, when you go to school, get good grades. You got to get an A. As parents, we want A's for our children. We don't want them coming home with C's and D's. B. You just passed it. You got a 70. You just barely passed. You got a 69. You failed. Listen to where I'm going. When we go to high school, elementary school, college, got to get an A. 4.0 by Beta Kappa. You don't want to be a 2.7 GPA, 2.3. Well, as humans, and I got to tell all of you, we are not perfect. Only God is. So don't always expect to get that A, get that B. Don't get caught up because you took that test. The teacher tells you, you failed. When it comes to God, you don't fail. God knows we are not perfect. That's why we pray. But guess what? When God gives you a test, and God will give every one of us a test, he don't tell you to get 100. He says, when I give you a test, whatever that test is,
my God,
in the regular world, a pop-up quiz.
Right.
Well, guess what? God doesn't just pop up, because God is always there. Someone on this call listening right now. But when he gives you that test, he tells you, I'm not asking you to get 100. All I want you to do is pass. And from that test, I am alive today.
My God.
I am stronger than ever.
Thank you.
The business that I used to do from years back after, yes, leaving that retail establishment, I'm doing it far better, far bloomed. I'm doing it across the United States. I'm doing it across through Canada. I still love my gospel comedy. And I tell you, I owe it all to God. You know, I cannot take any credit for anything. I cannot take any kind of credit for being a good salesperson, as people would say, or an entrepreneur, or a gospel comedian. I can't take that credit, because that's a gift that God gave me. He didn't have to give it to me. He didn't have to give any of us gifts whatsoever. We have, you know, tying it all in, as far as entrepreneurs, we all have that in us. We have to work every day for what we have. We have to work for our marriages. We have to work for our children. We have to work to get an education. We all have it. It's just a matter of, you know, tapping into it. No different than believing in God. You know, you have the faith in yourself. If you don't have the faith in yourself, what are you going to do? You know, you have to sell yourself. You have to believe in you. You have to make your own road of knowing where you want to go. You have to see yourself in that light, and you have to pray, because God will hear your prayers. Every day, I guarantee you, somewhere today, all of us, either on the radio, be it on TV, if you hear someone in the street, if you watch a TV show, you're going to hear somebody all day long say, oh, my God. You'll see someone on Facebook typing, OMG. And what you don't realize, listen, you got to be careful for what you ask for. Because in today's life, we as human beings, we say, man, what comes around goes around. But you better be careful what you say in man's terms, because the Bible says you reap what you sow. That's really the same thing. And see, what you don't realize also, when we just having regular conversations, oh, I ran into somebody, for real, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. Oh, my God, you really see that person? Oh, my God, that show was so funny. Well, guess what? Every time you say, oh, my God, God is like, you just call. You know you just called me? But meanwhile, we got our souls on mute, because we don't want to hear, but he just answered you. but we don't want to hear. But guess what? You didn't cry it up so much. He's going to answer you. Because guess what? You're going to reap what you sowed. You sowed into him. You kept calling him. How could he not answer you?
That's good.
He answered me.
My God, thank you. I just said it. My God. He's answering me. Yay. Wow. Oh, I almost wanted to say OMG, but hey, listen. Wow. This has been so, so amazing. I mean, you know, I heard parts of your story before, and I just thought you to myself, like, this is an amazing story that is going to help so many people get their faith, just trust their faith, number one. You know, you talked about having that mustard seed of faith and how, you know, we hear about people who have need of a kidney, and maybe you're on the line today and maybe you're in the same position that Andre was in some years back, or maybe a family member or a friend, or maybe you'll meet someone that's standing in the same position where they're in desperate need of a move of God. And Andre has just come here and just so calmly and just meticulously laid out the story of his life and how, you know, God is just already there for you. No matter, just got to call on him. I mean, that's, you know, one of the major things I'm hearing here. And Andre, I just thank God for you and your boldness and your willingness to come and be transparent with our audience today and those who will dial back into the archives, those who are on the phone lines. I see we have many callers who have called in this morning. And, you know, I don't know if Cassandra also has a comment for you. And, of course, we'll take other callers. We put your, you know, and you are a businessman. We put your website and your email contact information is on the flyer that we're circulating. And I know you're a dynamic business person. And if you're saying that, you know, God has even anointed you the more successful in business, oh, God, and how he's kept you around for such a time as this. I mean, when I think back to those top days and those big cookouts they would have every summer, the big company, family, day thing, and, you know, if you had ever told me then that we'd be sitting here today, that was 25 years ago, 26 years ago, I would have never believed it. And at the time, you know, I certainly wasn't serving the Lord, and you could have never told me.
Oh, I know I wasn't. If anyone would have told me back then, you realize probably about another 20 years from now, you would be doing gospel comedy, let alone in front of 20,000 people. I would have laughed hysterically at Bellevue.
You would have thought they were a comedian, right?
I wouldn't believe that at all. But, you know, I take now, from what I do with gospel comedy and from what I do in the business world, and I realize now I'm selling for the Lord. And as good as what I did back then, doing God's work for me is a whole lot better. I enjoy it. I enjoy the gospel comedy because I make people laugh at the devil all day.
All right.
You know, so for me, he's a big joke in the first place. So I'm definitely going to get my laugh on, you know, and it is just wonderful. I could not choose to go back and do regular comedy. I don't care if you have a $1 million briefcase waiting for me. You know, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold.
All right.
And,
I know that.
That's what it comes down to me, and I'm just so grateful, you know, to God. I just thank God for everything, every day. I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord. I walk in the kitchen and get a a glass of water now. I'm so happy. I'm going to throw a block party.
My God. Jesus.
Every day is just an awesome day. You know, we have so much to be happy and thankful for. People complain, oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's snowing. Oh, it's raining. Oh, you're alive. All right, how about that? You need to be happy for that. For somebody did not wake up this morning. We have no reason to complain. We are just so blessed. So blessed. I mean, we have so much to be happy for. So if this is reaching someone and you're going through something and you don't understand, you have to just say to yourself, it's not for you to understand. God understands. He's just testing you. All he wants you to do is just pass.
Pass the test.
Because if God would come along and give me a kidney within a day and a half,
my God.
Anyone knows what it's like to be on a transplant list,
Jesus.
You're going to tell me God is not real. I will laugh at you.
Oh, my God.
Andre. Andre.
Yes.
Man of God. I have a question for you. This is an awesome, awesome testimony. I do want to ask you, and I hear this so many times, and I'm sure our listeners are probably wondering too, when you know or you think that you're about to die, so many times we make bargains with God. You know, if you let me live, I'll do this and I'll do that. And we know you step to the plate and serve God in a greater way. Is there something that you went ahead and did that you may not have done because maybe fear or insecurity held you back? Because so many people have dreams and visions down on the inside, but they don't move out to what they want to do because, you know, I've got a family or, you know, the church may not accept it or, you know, somebody may, you know, make fun of me. Is there something that you, you know, did that you may not have done because of this situation? You can think of, you know, maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah, but yes, actually, I tell you what changed me. Number one, I realized, just like anybody else, I was born into this world. So therefore, I have that one thing in common with everyone else. The second thing, besides that, being born and being able to think, I related that to the Bible, Genesis 1, in the beginning. The Bible says in the beginning in Genesis 1, and when you're born in a hospital, guess what? That is in the beginning. The other thing that it says in Genesis 1 is that all that God has made is good. So guess what? He has made all of us. So when we were born, amen, we were made good. Because God made us that way. We weren't born bad. We weren't born serial killers. We were born good. When we live and walk through the life of man, that's when you turn bad. But from the beginning, God says he was good. They mocked Jesus. They put him down. They spit at him. He was meek, he was mellow, he was God. He took it. He took the abuse, and he still loved, he still cared, he still forgave. It didn't matter to him. Listen. It didn't matter to him what people thought, because he believed in his Father. So it came to me in my life. I'm like, well, Jesus endured this. He didn't care. He took it. So I'm now at a point that I don't care what people think. Yes, I love God. Yes, I do gospel community. Man, you're not going to do talents, though. No. You said, man, they keep up to it. I don't care. I don't live to be on Broadway. I am not caught up into no fancy celebrity part. That's not going to mean anything to me later. I want the big payday. I want heaven. I want glory. That's the big payday. That's an Emmy. That's a Grammy for me when I can get on a throne, not on a stage. Hear me? That's
yes.
What means the most to me.
Mm.
So when it comes down to it, I'm not caught up in this world. I'm here today. And I will be gone one day in the future tomorrow.
Mm.
And when my time comes, I know where I want to be. And that's not on nobody's stage.
My
I want to be sitting
in God. You know, that's a good question. Thank you. That was a good question, too, Cassandra. And it's what I'm hearing, it sounds like what I'm hearing you say, Andre, is that the thing that you promised God, because like Cassandra said, sometimes when we're at a desperate situation, we'll promise God all kinds of things. And it sounds like you promised him your life, like, I'll give you back my life. I'll serve you the way you want me to. You know,
yes.
I'll make you first, God. I'll make you the priority. Whatever you bring my way, whatever
you
have for me to do.
The only way it can be. There is no
God.
Negotiation.
Yes. My God, yes. There are many people. Hannah made that for her own son, Samuel. She said, God, if you give me this child, I will give him back to you every day of his life. So I understand that very well. That's what you did, and so we're making that loud and clear right here on All About Entrepreneur, and thank you so much for that question, Cassandra. Yes, sometimes, you know, people are looking for all the things that person might have promised God, but sometimes, because all God wants is a yes. That's
right.
All he wants is will you serve me with your whole heart? Will you make me the priority? And Andre, you said that so clear. I'm making heaven is my priority, and I'm not ashamed of it. And, you know, because some people think it's outdated. Some people, because of technology and the Facebook and social media and all the technology, they think it's outdated to say we want heaven. And what I hear you saying is that that's not outdated with you. Glory to God. I love it. Yes, it's still in vogue. It's still in vogue to want heaven over the world. And that
Amen.
Right that'll preach all that. That might be a you probably could turn that into a gospel comedy skit right there.
I know that's right. The other thing I was thinking, Andre and Coach Melissa, was that specifically, I guess what I'm saying is also in addition to what you said, is like a lot of times people know, say they're supposed to, you know, be singing, or they know they're supposed to. You know, do something, a purpose they were created for, and they never did it. They never stepped out in it because
I got
fear.
To write a book, or start a business, or become a doctor. Sure.
Like that. It's
those
so
things,
many
too.
They're about to die, and then they say, oh, okay, I'm going to go take a vacation. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and apologize or ask for forgiveness. Something, you know, sometimes you're sitting and you're sitting and you're waiting. What are you waiting for? We need to step out and be and not wait till we get a death sentence to do what God is telling us to do. That's what I wanted you to speak to, man of God.
Well, you know what, here, I can say that real quick, Cassandra. Anything that anyone wants to do, you have to put God first, because once you do that, you'll be able to obtain it. You know, when I lived in my other world of living life, I had all the tools in me all the time. But you know what?
Mm.
God will stop you
to
actually you submit. And when I submitted the same tools that I had and nothing had changed, I have more doors open for me now than I could ever even fancy to imagine. I mean, when he pours out a blessing on you, like he is doing for me now, You know, I sit back and say, I could have had this a long time ago. I could have been at this level a long time ago. I just didn't submit. So when you when you believe in him first and then believe in you second, what you can do through him and with him, you can have it. You can open your own doors to get anything you want, anything you want, obtain anything you want, and reach it. Because all you got to do is reach out for him. All have the best daddy in the world.
All right,
now. He's pouring his children into the world, and we say, Mama, Dada, guess what? I am my son's father.
Good.
I am born with a father here, but I am my father's son.
All right. That's good. That's good, Andre. You said we had, you know, I think about the word that says that if we seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. And it sounds like you're also confirming that has happened to you, and you've experienced that.
Absolutely.
What a power. And I wanted to know if anyone does have a question for Andre Dubois, please hit your number one key, and we will open up your phone line if you have a burning question. And, you know, no question, you know, is too small or too big. Or if you have a comment for the message that you've heard or a response to what you've heard today, if something has made you think differently, feel differently, you know, sometimes just having a new perspective, a new outlook. Please hit your number one key, and I'll open your phone lines as you all do that. It'll be my honor to open it up so that Andre can talk, you know, speak right to you. He said so much this morning. And, you know, just, again, just really sharing with people that it's so important to watch what we say, to establish our faith. We never know what's going to happen to us. Like you said, when you got that phone, you just went to the cold for a doc, to the doctor for a cold.
I didn't feel no symptoms whatsoever.
That's another testimony right there. You didn't even feel
It's so important anytime anyone goes to a doctor or a hospital and they say, oh, we're just going to take blood, tell them when you take the blood, include the test for my kidneys, include the test for my liver. Because if that doctor did not include that extra test that day, I wouldn't be here right now.
My God. Yes. And I had a brother who actually was on a dialysis machine, and he did die. And he got to the place where he was on the machine 24 hours a day.
There
was,
wow.
I know it. Yeah, he couldn't, he was actually 1 year older than me, and he passed away in 2008. And so I grew up with him, you know, going to school with him. Of course, we just were a year apart and did a lot of things together, you know, had a lot of things in common, the two of us, but that was my big brother, you know, and it was amazing to watch him on this dialysis machine. He had no kidney, basically was gone 24 hours a day, and so just to hear your story and how God gave you that kidney and the time you did spend on that machine, I know it's a very painful process.
Oh, it is so painful.
Mm-hmm.
It is so painful. I would not wish that on anyone.
Yeah, he was almost fully sedated while he was laying there for months on this machine. And I would go into the hospital room, and, you know, the machine was right there. And, of course, the hospital didn't want that. They wanted their machine back for some people that they thought. But yeah, so I have some experience with that. A young man in our church who we went to visit as he laid in the hospital waiting for his kidney transplant. So I've been around people, and So your story is really touching me a lot because I, you know, to have met you all those years ago and then not have seen you for years and years and to hear that you went through that. But I love this story about the test. I love that. You don't need 100 to pass. God, this ain't Harvard and Yale. This is not Columbia.
Amen.
Or Princeton or Rutgers or even Essex County College. This is the holy God and his test, you just have to pass. I never heard it like that. Put like that, and thank you so much for that.
Oh, I would like to, you know, thank you and Cassandra for allowing me to be on your show. Your radio show is such a blessing, you know, and I hope and pray that a lot of people, you know, really appreciate it. And I would pray also that, you know, any listener that's out there, regardless of any situation, just please believe in God. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Just please believe in God. Just please give him the faith. Just please pray. Just please. I tell you, you will feel so much better inside. You will feel so good. I mean, when you look at the way the world is going, when you look at the way the world used to be, it's so great now, just as part of regular conversation, people could say, God bless you. We didn't have that years ago, so we know God is real because he has changed our times. You see people now put on Facebook religious songs, pictures of God bearing a cross. We talk it in our conversations. We text people, God bless. We put it in emails. That's powerful. That, don't you realize that God is just trying to touch us in so many ways, and we just need that. Just believe. Just pray. Just say, if you eat a pretzel, just say thank you, God, for a pretzel. So, somebody in this world don't even have a pretzel. There's parts of this world that they don't have fresh water. Anything, if you have on shoes right now, just say thank you, God. If you're able to see right now, just say thank you, God. I mean, just say thank you, God. Just say thank you, God, because you need to say it anyway.
Mm.
We just have so much to be thankful for.
Mm.
And, you know, once again, I thank God for blessing the show that both of you have because it is a wonderful tool. It is a great thing. And I'm just going to pray and pray and pray and pray that your show continues to reach souls like it has reached me today. And I am just so grateful.
Well, we are grateful. And, yes, if you are listening in, you're listening to Andre Du Bois, and he has a powerful Dubose. I think I'm saying it wrong. Dubose, like the speakers,
okay,
right?
I've used to so many different names.
But like the speakers, it's probably like speakers, Bose speakers, B-O-S-E.
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, it's the Bose, just like Bose speakers. That is correct.
The Bose speakers. All right. Well, he was speaking today loud and clear. He was speaking loud and clear through you. But if you have that's who you're listening to. He's a comedian, a businessman, entrepreneur, a sales extraordinaire, sales expert. God has given him the skills and talents, and he has done everything that he could do in his power to hone them and use them. And so if you would like to find out more about Andre, you can catch him on the internet. Facebook, you can get him right on Facebook. Andre, A-N-D-R-E, Du Bose, like the speakers, D-U-B-O-S-E. And if you would give them your if you would give out your website where they can find out more about the business that you're in. We have many people who tune in looking for entrepreneurial opportunities, sometimes not sure what business is right for them. So on this show, we try to expose them to many different types of businesses, entrepreneurship opportunities, and so and also to the hurdles that entrepreneurs have to go through and live through and experience. You know, it's not all about the million-dollar sales, and it's not all about, there's another side to entrepreneurship, and most successful entrepreneurs I've ever read about or heard about, they all have these powerful, powerful testimonies and things that they've overcome, every last one, whether it's Bill Gates, whether it's, you know, Stephen Covey, who went on to pass away last year, whether it's, you know, whomever it is. Every last, Les Brown, you name them, Tony Robbins, any very, very successful entrepreneur has had an amazing, amazing story. So if you give us your contact information, that would be awesome, your website and your email address.
Sure. My website is www.n, like Nancy, A, like Apple, B, like Boy, A, like Apple, N, like Nancy, C, like Charlie, A, like Apple, R, like Robert, D, like David, H, like Harry, Q, like Quarter.com, and that is www.nahardhq.com. And actually, my company, we service businesses to the United States, new or existing, to be able to accept credit cards, gift cards. We also give any business any type of equipment that you need to accept credit cards for free, no cost to you. If you already accept credit cards and services, we'll even reduce your fees for you. That's totally for free. So I also like to help upcoming entrepreneurs. If you're looking to get started in a business and you want to make additional money by accepting credit cards, we do that for you. If you're already in business and you are looking to expand and grow your business and you need financial monies for your business, we will give that to you as well. And you can actually reach out and call us at 1-888-969-4720. And you can also email us at the email address would be nabanccard@optimum.net. And you can put it attention to me, Andre DeBose, and I'll be more than glad to answer your emails, accept your phone calls, and I would like to hear from a lot of you. And if we can support you in any way, we'll be more than glad to.
Wow. Awesome, awesome. So you heard that again, Andre DeBose, and you can find him on the Internet. You can connect with him right there on Facebook. We're hoping that Andre also will open up a Christian social network site, because we now have many followers and new followers over there. Mr. David Knight, who is the CEO of the Christian Social Network, it's like a Facebook for Christians and others, but they do have the title Christian Social Network. It's not a dating site, as some people have thought, but it's a place for people to set up a social media page and connect and like and share. There's a multitude of things you can do on the site, but set up very closely with Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You can even sign in using those accounts as well. And you just go to mycsn.org to get started. mycsn.org to get started. Now, I know our show was so dynamic today and so robust that we didn't get a chance to play our standard commercial, but we'll definitely play it tomorrow. But I knew that Andre had this very, very powerful story and testimony and uplifting. And his testimony, yes, it's You know, but it's not like so sad that it's uplifting. I mean, I feel like running around the block right now. After talking to you, man, I'm going to run. Listen, I'm like, wow. I don't know. Do you all feel the same way? Yes, just hit your number one key if you feel the same way. Don't worry. I won't open your phone line. If you feel the same way, I really need to see check responses here. If you feel the same way that Andre's story is so uplifting, just go on and hit your number one key. I'm not going to open your phone line. I see number one. I see somebody has done it. I'm not going to open it up for you to talk. I just want to get your feedback. Real-time feedback that you feel that his story is, yes, yes, he went through some hard pain. And if any of you know anything about a kidney dialysis, if you know anything about, you know how painful that had to be. But if you feel uplifted right now by hearing his story, just hit your, I see the number one keys lighting up. I just need to see a few more because I want to know if the other people, then if you all just had your phone on mute then because you really didn't hear all of his message. If you're not here, okay, I see the number. I see their light. Okay, I see those number one keys lighting up because I was going to say this story, Andre. Yes, that's right. Keep them. Okay, now, that's what I'm saying. I know some people can't talk because I'm sure right now you're in shock. You're in shock and you're in awe. And I understand that you may can't talk right now. You know, I have to. I'm the radio show host. But trust me, I've heard your story, Andre, before when you share. I only heard it 2 days ago. You just shared it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just, people don't think I've been knowing this for years. I just learned of this 2 nights ago when Andre and I were speaking about that show. I was, listen, I know you're in shock. Because I'm in shock, and I was in shock, but so uplifted. I mean, God is really using you in a mighty way because that's such, I mean, other than that, if you were just on here just telling us what happened, absent of the fact that, you know, you're so happy to go do all this Lord's work, I think it would be such a much sadder story. Your story is like the man who was laying at the temple, and he had been crippled like for years and years and years. And when Peter and John came and touched him, you know, and lifted him up, right? And they said, silver and gold have we not, but such as we have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Well, the man got up and went in the temple dancing. That's what your story reminds me of. It's like, yeah, it's like you got your kidney and you're off dancing and saying to everybody, wow, this God is a I don't know much, but one thing I know, you know, or, you know, that kind of feeling like, you can ask, I guess if I were to ask you about Pluto and Saturn and all the various
I am reaching every day. I am ready to dance to the Lord every day. I am dancing on this song as I'm listening to you right now. Every day is a dance.
I was like, I can hear you say, I don't know much about Pluto and Saturn, but listen, the one thing I know is that God is real because I can't even believe, I mean, your story, I mean, I believe you because I know you, but it does almost sound unbelievable that you could one day have a cold, just have a cold, go to the doctor, and then be told that you need a kidney. Yes, but I guess God would need to do it that way to really show himself so strong. And so yes, oh, my God, I'm telling you, listen, let me look out the window, see what it, oh, yep, it looks like a running day for me. I can run. I need to get out and just enjoy life. People, like Cassandra was asking earlier, is there anything that, you know, you had promised the Lord, like, God, if you do this for me, I'll do this, you know?
Actually, I didn't do that because I just had to submit, Lord is Lord, and you can't make no deals with the Lord. No, either you give them all of you, or you don't get none. And I had to give myself totally. So the regular world of comedy and all of that stuff, I just couldn't do any. No.
What did your parents?
No compromise. I'm sorry.
I know, like, for me, like, my mom, you know, she was always trying to get me to go to church, and, of course, you know, I wouldn't go and wouldn't go. And then when I finally did go, boy, she was happy. So, but what, now, what's your story? What about your parents? You know, I know you mentioned your children. You know, was there anyone?
I lost my father in 1988, so I wasn't able to talk to him. And I lost my mother in 2010. I was, you know, I had a chance to speak with her a lot from 2008 until September 2010 until she passed away. And then the rest of it, I endured. You know, I wish she was here to celebrate with me when I got my transplant. But, you know, I just had to keep going on. And the sad thing, I didn't even know my mother was going through her own battle of medical issues because she didn't want to, you know, tell myself or my brother. And I wanted her so much there at that McDonald's Gospel Fest. And I know through a lot of different things the Spirit touched me that day. And I know she was proud of what I did. I communicated it to her on the phone, and I went home very drained after that event. But I tell you, life is something. But through it all, I turned to my, as I said once again, my real dad, my father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
And like I said, I am my father's son. He is my father. He will never leave me, and he never forsake me. So I might have lost my parents here on earth, but I will never lose my father.
Wow.
In eternity. And he is always there for me.
Very well. Andre, we just thank God for you and thank God for how he's using you and how he saved you and how he, you know, prepared all of this ahead of time. Like you said, he already, God is not shocked at things that happen to us. We're shocked and baffled and bewildered, but God is not. And so, but wow, you've so taken this, I tell you, I just feel so refreshed on today. And I'm so glad that, I'm just so glad that God just put it on my heart to invite you to be a guest. Like, we only ran into you, what, 2 years ago?
I'm
so blessed
and honored. Thank you.
That hasn't even been probably 2 years since we ran back into you. And it wouldn't, if it had not been for Drew getting on Facebook, I don't think we would have, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, for so many years, I've been, you know, trying to track your husband down. And I kept saying, well, I remember he works here, but what town is that? I couldn't even call this information. And I said, I'm just going to go on Facebook one day and see if I can find him. And I punched in, you know, Andrew Williams, and you get so many of those with the last name of Williams. And I'm saying to myself, all right, I remember he lived in this town, but was it this town? And I kept punching in towns, and then all of a sudden, I seen him pop up. I was like, "Oh my goodness!"
Today
they would say for Martin, "Oh my goodness!" And
I was hoping you would say something. One of your that was good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, and I was like, oh my goodness. And I reached out to Drew, and man, I tell you, I felt so good. That is just one of the most greatest brothers I ever met in my life, I got to tell you. You know, But I get around Drew and I talk to him. I feel like I'm on like smooth jazz or something. He's just like, you know, like people that just say, you know, some people are just so cool that you don't even have to say their full name. You can, like here, you can just say Oprah. You know who Oprah is, and you can just say Denzel. But, you know, to me, I don't have to say Andrew. It's just, and all of us at Top Supply and City that used to just work there, just Drew. You know, it's just like,
you know? Oh, yeah, right.
And he has the perfect name because Drew just, he just drew me to him. I mean, he's just, yeah. Ooh, man, Drew is Drew.
I never thought of it like that. I guess he drew me too, huh? That day at the Fox Trap. He drew me too that day at the Fox Trap. But now that we got a little bit out of you, maybe we get something else funny out of you before we have to go. Because
I know you came prepared. Actually, you know, when I do gospel comedy, I don't even talk in my voice. You know, in my own mind, for years, I'm always, oh, boy, Lord, forgive me, please, Lord. You know, I only mean this for entertainment, right, Lord? Okay. You know, for years, as a kid, you know, a lot of my family came from the South, and you don't know what you're going through as a kid. And always living up in New York, because I'm originally from Harlem, I used to hate going down south as a kid. You know, my parents be like, all right, we going down south. And if you notice, as black folks, we never said we going to Alabama, we going to North Carolina. It's always going down south. I used to be like, hey, I don't want to go down south. Grandma got nothing but a house. She don't have no air conditioner. She got one bedroom in there. And it's like, aim for something that joint. I'm like, I don't want to go. Like, you going, boy, you going. And, you know, we go down there, and, you know, we used to always, well, back in those days, always they had some little itty-bitty churches in the South. You know, the wood creaking floors. You knew you were going to church because you drove on the roads, going up to church on them bag on rocks, and he and the tires just as you're going up the big on the road and the car shaking up and down, and you're walking in the church and you don't have no piano and you hear the wood floors cracking and it's 115 degrees up in there and they got them bag on Martin Luther King fans, them bag on fans. So if they're going to run out, they need to have a dream like he did because they need new fans up there in that big old church. And, you know, you got the old pastor, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, please. You got them old big belly pastors up there.
Oh, Lord.
And, you know, they can't really talk. And everyone up there, you know, you got the old ladies up there, oh, the pastor, they, oh, Lord, the pastor. And everyone just really waiting to eat chicken after the day of service. And I guess God was using me then, because I never forget, my grandmother, my mother, they took me up to meet the pastor. And, you know, you get the, you know how they are down south. I go up to meet the pastor. And, you know, oh, you such and such kid. Oh, I don't heard about you. And he bends over to me, going to shake my hand and says, Lord.
Oh,
man, I smell that pastor's breath. I turn my head. Man, let me tell you something. If there was candles up there in the Catholic Church, the service would have caught a fire. That breath was just so daggone bad. It was coming more than the daggone fire itself. Yeah, I mean, oof. But, I love doing my gospel comedy. It's just nothing like it in the world. Nothing like it in the world. It's just so much fun.
You trying to say we Christians are funny?
I'm sorry?
I said, are you trying to say we Christians are funny?
We are funny.
I mean, if you think about, like I said earlier, the devil, you can laugh all day, all day long. I didn't know
you were from Harlem. You said you were originally from Harlem. Wow. We'd have to get you back for a whole nother segment to talk about what was it like growing up in Harlem. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. I've seen so many, so many people in Harlem growing up. I used to run into James Brown walking down the street. For the Apollo, I ran into Muhammad Ali in Harlem, Al Green. I tell you Al Green, but I'll tell you something funny. As a child, as a baby, my mother and father, you know, was also from Harlem, and it's historic is what I'm about to say. It's also sad. As a child, I was actually at the Audubon Ballroom today Malcolm X gave his speech and was shot. I was actually a child there with my parents that day.
My God.
Yeah, but there's just so much history in Harlem that you don't even hear about. There's a section up in Harlem called Sugar Hill, just like where they made that movie, where you have one block where George Washington lived and so many other historic white Americans. You will not even find that in a history book. It's one cobblestone block with homes there that were actually built in the 1700s. And these homes still stand. They're historic landmarks. The street is made of cobblestone itself. Right dead center. One block long. And you will never hear nothing about it in the history books because it's in Harlem.
Wow. Yeah, I know that would be a whole nother segment to get you back just talking about Harlem. Wow. You know, what a place. What a place.
It's nothing like it. Boy, I tell you, I love Harlem. It's just so much to be happy.
Did you ever run into Diana Ross?
You
ever run into Diana Ross over there?
I never ran into Diana Ross, but, oh, boy. I would really have to think back and write down how many people that are stars that I ran into as a child just walking the street of Harlem. And, you know, Harlem was just so free back then, you know, between the movement and black empowerment, you know, during that time, it was nothing, like I said, to see James Brown or anyone that was so significant to us black Americans just walking the street or sitting down having fish and chips.
Wow.
So it's awesome. Wow. Yeah, we have so much heritage and tradition, and that one part of New York is it's a place where everyone should go. It doesn't matter if you're Latin, Caucasian, Middle Eastern. It's just so much history. Yeah, great people there. It's wonderful. I mean, Bill Clinton loves it.
Yeah,
he has an office right there. It's just one of a kind. And good food. Lord knows we love some good food.
I love Drew used to take me over to the Black Harlem Festival. Harlem Festival, not Black Harlem, just Harlem Festival. And when I only moved to New Jersey in 1987. And so that's my first experience with New Jersey, New York. Was 87 when I moved here. And at the time, I thought I was coming for a very short run. I had no clue this place would become my home. But yes, he would take me to Harlem.
Yes, he had plans for you.
I know, right? He drew me. He drew me to him. He drew me all the way
from. And you know what? I got to tell you something. That man loves you because before you was getting married, all he did was talk about you at work. That's all he did. It's like that old school jam. What was that song?
Oh, Lord.
He must have, I don't want to sing it, Lord. Please don't let me do that. But you know that song about you must have put a spell on my mind?
Oh, Lord. That's funny. We better not tell all his
secrets. And
that's
just the way you had him. And if you remember those words, because that's old school. It's our soul trouble sleeping. And you know, he must have had trouble sleeping and every day on thing because all you heard all day was Lolita. Who is this, Lolita? Will you please? But yeah, I finally had the chance to meet you, but oh boy, let me tell you something.
Funny.
Yeah, you were definitely the world to him.
Oh.
Definitely.
Well, I guess that's why he's been married to me 24 years, huh? But yeah.
Oh, and he was so excited talking about you guys getting married too, and I was morning glad to go to the wedding.
You got to be kidding. I'm going to have to talk to this brother. But anyway, he better start giving me bigger anniversary gifts now. But But Andre, thank you so much, and thanks to our callers who have stayed on this whole time. Again, everyone, don't forget to come back tomorrow. We have another exciting segment for you. Then Wednesday, we got some more powerful guests coming on Wednesday and Thursday. You don't want to miss not one single day of All About Entrepreneurs. And, you know, connect with those that who we bring on to the show, because I know the hour or so that we're on is not enough time to maybe get all the information you might need from them. That's why we are, you know, we're also happy about, you know, the social media networks that we have. Let's use it for what it's meant to be. We can connect with each other business-wise or to help us out in our personal lives. Maybe you're going through something, and something that Andre has said about his own story will help you and encourage you to get you a little bit further where you are today. Talk to him. Maybe you haven't had the same experience, but he has a story of overcoming a very powerful thing that came, you know, in his life, and how he's handled it, and it might can help you in your situation or someone you know. I just love his candidness, his openness, and you really are. No wonder God had to make you a comedian, because, you know, you just have the right attitude and the right spirit about what happened to you, Andre, and that is commendable. At least, to be celebrated at best, and you are to be celebrated and honored, and you know, we just wish God much, much success on you. Go ahead.
Well, that could also be one reason why they call me on stage the Reverend Simo Body. See now,
Lord.
When I perform on the stage, the Reverend Simo Body likes to see the bodies out there in the audience. But the Reverend Simo Body also like to see more bodies after the show. So let's see Reverend Simo Body once again back at McDonald's Gospel Fest 2015 with also Professor Clump and Buddy Love. No, just kidding. But,
yes,
Melissa, Cassandra, I really appreciate being on your show.
That was too funny. Yes, yes, yes. So we're gonna be hearing more from you. And now that we have this relationship back going, you know, we haven't seen you in a long time, but we're looking to do some entertainment. Myself and Cassandra has been talking about doing. So we have other comedian friends, and we were thinking about doing some type of. Well, we're putting it in the works, but we don't want to give out too much information about it. But
as long as it's gospel comedy, I'm with that all the way.
I know, right? I said, I know somebody that's in gospel comedy. And so we've helped people. In case, again, if anyone has any burning, you got about two more minutes. show has almost been 2 hours long. Any more burning comments, please, this is your absolute last chance. I won't know who's trying to talk because I had you open your phone lines already by having you raise your, hit your number one key. So once you hit your number one key, you can't, I don't think you can unhit it. And so so unfortunately, that's it. You won't be able to, but we're just going to assume that if anyone did have a comment, they can always inbox you later or inbox me. But again, Andre, people did get something out of it. People were empowered by your message. And people were lifted, uplifted with your spirit today. And thank you for studying. And that's why it was important that I had you on Monday. Because when I called you to be on, I could have selected any day of the week. But I said, you know what, let's kick this week off with a bang, you know, with a powerful, I figured as a comedian, at that time I didn't know your story. But I said, oh, let's kick off the week with a comedian, something funny, something to get our hearts, you know, lifted. And little did I know, buddy, you had some story. Woo! So you have really, truly lifted us, and you've stayed, you know, true to the game, you know, true to what you are doing, and that I am so grateful for. And everyone, please continue to celebrate those around us each and every day. Like Andre said, you know, we can't take any day for granted, and be thankful. I've heard Andre said that. Be thankful for everything. Thank God, and be watchful of what we say. And then if we're calling them up with all these OMGs and God bless you, then expect a blessing. When we call his name, he hears us, and we don't certainly want to use his name in vain, because we don't want to just be calling the name in vain, and then every time he shows up, we don't have nothing. And then when we really need him, we're calling him, and we don't seem to get him, so... It's just like a parent, right? If your child's calling you all the time and for nothing, eventually they call you, you're just going to lay there. Well, no, God's not going to do us like that because he has infinite wisdom, but we do want to be mindful that we're calling on him because he is so powerful, you know. And if we don't really need that power, let's not just, right, Andre, let's not just waste that power because...
Amen.
Day you got that
phone call.
Yeah, when you got this award. Oh, we all have the power anyway, right?
Amen.
All right, then. Well, there you have it, everyone. It's confirmed. You've got the power. Go out and do what? What should they go out and do, Andre?
Do the Lord's work, and the Lord will work right through you.
Woo! Listen to that. Well, y'all, on that note, we're going to end, and as Coach Cassandra would say, go out and have a super califragilisticexpialidocious day, baby. And I just have to say that, you know. But I just love saying that. So that just felt so good to tell people. Oh, Andre, you just don't know. Oh, I can't wait. If anybody comes to me, just I'm so glad we have this on tape now. You know, this show is in the archives, as is all shows. On blogtalkradio.com/AAE show. You just go and find the date of the show or the title of the show or whoever was the guest on the show. And all the shows are listed in a chronological fashion so you can easily find it and you can let someone listen to this show. I'm going to. If anyone comes to me with any hardship, any problem, I'm going to say go listen to I'm going to direct them to this page. Now, you can get the link, and you can send it to someone, inbox it to someone, put it on someone's page. But I am definitely going to be letting people know to go and listen to this message because it will lift their spirits. It will lift their day because you have proven that we have the power within us and that no matter how far down we go, no matter how much it doesn't seem like we're going to get something, I can just picture you there, you know, leaving the house in your flip-flops and your pajamas and, you know, getting that call that said, you know, oops, we made a mistake. I just can't even fathom But hearing you tell it, I get a real picture that God comes not when we want him.
But he's right on time.
He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And so we wait to see you in person. If you have any video clips of doing your comedy, please feel free to, you know, put them on my page. I will circulate them around. And, you know, keep doing what you do, Andre. And for those of you who are tuned in, thank you so much for calling in, Dr. Gerald Higginbotham. And thank you for calling. See, I told you, you know, we had to open his phone lines. We had to get those seatbelts on. We needed to know we were about to go to a takeoff. So that's been a blessing. And Coach Cassandra, as always, thank you so much for being our co-host and helping us out with the show today. And again, everyone, we'll see you back tomorrow. Andre, you're the best man, I'm telling you, dude. You are all right.
All of you the same. I can't take no credit for anything. God is definitely the best. I'll settle
awesome.
For the less.
He's the best. Ever since I met you, you are always a nice guy. And, you know, it's, I'm just so glad that, you know, I'm so, that's one of the reasons I am so thankful to Facebook for. It has truly helped us bring back some very critical and important people into our lives. People that we would have had to go on Oprah to find you. But,
yeah, right.
Remember those shows used to do that? Remember those shows back in the talk shows, the only reason you went on there was to find some long-lost family member. And now, so everybody couldn't get on those shows. So Facebook has solved that issue for us, and we've been able to connect with people that we haven't seen. You know, a lot of people are against Facebook for whatever reason. They think it's for the young people. But when I think about how we could connect with people like you, Andre, I got nothing but thumbs up for Facebook.
Oh, I'm so glad to be able to have found you and Drew again. I tell you, that was a very happy, jubilant day for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I look forward to the day we can hang out again and, you know, eat some fish on the grill or chicken or whatever.
Oh, we're going to do that. Absolutely. I tell you, you two are just so lovable. Wow. You know what? When they talk about being equally yoked, I tell you, God just took you two eggs and just scrambled you all together. I mean, you two are just so awesome. Wow.
You guys
like peanut butter and jelly. You guys are like Scott the tissue. I mean.
Wait a minute, but I was just thinking. I think Drew would probably, hopefully, when he, you know, gets to retire, he can, you know, hopefully join you, you know, in your business or do something that like
well,
that.
Well, you know what?
Doing.
Actually, I was going to call you and Drew later on today because I have some serious plans for you two. Actually, I looked to talk to you off air because I'm going to do something to bless your show ongoing because I feel it really needs to reach out. I feel there's God really working through you, and I, with my company, I'm going to bless you, like I said, offhand in a way that you won't.
I'm
excited about that. But
I will
talk to you about that off air.
Drew,
he doesn't even have to retire. Like I said earlier, Drew is Drew. Drew can get down with me to the nitty, to the gritty. right now, however he wants, any days he wants, any hours.
Wow.
You know. And
wow,
as Don Kinnears would say, if Drew gets together with me, it will be a blast, honey, because we will have love, peace, and soul. But
I know
that's right.
Okay.
Definitely.
So everyone, you all heard it. Call him. Call this man. Business opportunity. You need to. This guy is true blue. This is no fly by night type of person. I've been knowing Andre for over 26 years. Since I met Drew, he was working at Tops. So that's how long I've been knowing Andre. So this is the real deal, Holyfield. So connect with him if you are interested in finding out more about his company, what he's talking about. You can connect with him on Facebook. We're all about entrepreneurs, but we understand that entrepreneurs need a paycheck, too. Sometimes you got to get a paycheck to fund your dream.
Tied into ourselves.
And you know, we do. We still have to have a way to do that, but we still have our dream. Like you were talking about that pastor, that church, he said they need to have a dream and get a dream of getting air conditioning. But that was funny. God bless you. We can't wait to hear more. That's a glimpse. I certainly can't wait to hear more, and we're going to hear more. So everyone, enjoy your day. Have an expialidocious day, baby. And that's it, and that's all, and we'll see you back tomorrow. This has been Coach Lalisa, Coach Andra, and our special guest, Mr. Andre Dubose. Speakers, y'all. Okay, and he's speaking loud. He's speaking loud. Message is loud. Message is loud. And you got a message, too. Don't hold back.
That's right. There's no stopping you now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs, and visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/coachlalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on this show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams. Moving, 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 moving